You're listening to Expand the Curve, and I'm your host, Olive Bassi. Here we discuss controversial topics within plus-size representation in all industries, along with real-life stories from everyday people. In order for change to occur, you must be the change. Let's contract the norms and expand the curve. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Expand the Curve. I have a special guest here with me today. Her name is Michaela. She is a stylist. Honestly, an icon, truly a gem of one of the kind. Thank you for coming on to this podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel really amazed and I'm really grateful that you have invited me here today. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I hear congratulations are in order. I heard you got engaged.
Yeah, like very new. And now it's time to do my wedding preparations and get a nice dress.
I'm sure you'll figure it out as the stylist that you are.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, just to get us started here, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Michaela. I'm living in Frankfurt in Germany. But even though I'm living in Germany, I'm actually an international stylist and I have always been completely international. I work with people from all over the world and especially in English-speaking countries. And yeah, I started actually as a plus-size influencer some years ago on Instagram. And yeah, I felt the support of the, let's say, plus-size community really amazing. There's so many incredible women that I have met in the past years, and that really inspired me. It inspired my own struggle as a plus size woman, inspired me, but also all the support that I've got. And then I a couple of years ago I decided to study fashion styling and image consulting, because I did not only want to dress myself, I also wanted to learn professionally how to help and dress women. And that's what I do now.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I was going to say, like, how did you fall into this whole fashion and industry and stuff like that? Like, what motivated you the most?
As a child, I was always amazed by fashion, always very interested. I was reading. Now, I mean, I could not really read back then, but I was looking at all the fashion magazines and I was just cutting out the pictures and starting to do my mood boards as a five-year-old girl. But also I was always in love with Barbie dolls. And even back then, I did not feel represented because there were no Barbie dolls with dark hair. They were all blonde. And then I started dyeing my Barbie hairs with Sharpies. I was sitting there and I was just dyeing the hair, and things like this really inspired me. And yeah, so I was always a very creative person. I was always very into fashion. And then I used to be a size zero back then, also in my teenage years, but then suddenly I gained a lot of weight, and from a size zero I became a 3XL, which is a size 20 US. And that really inspired me. All the struggles that I had to find clothes and so on. And yeah, and then I decided I go that path and also help other women.
Absolutely. Can you tell me what was the moment that redefined what it meant to be a fat or plus size or curvy woman for you, since you're in this industry of fashion and it's a very, very body centric industry?
Yeah, so I was actually living in denial by myself for a very long time, because I used to be that size zero. But when I used to be a size zero, I didn't see myself as that. I had body dysmorphia. And when I was actually looking in the mirror, I did not see myself skinny. I saw myself as that, let's say, curvy, plus size, a fat person. And I was always thinking, my gosh, I cannot wear bikinis. It's way too much. People will look at me. I will feel not great in that. And then I actually became a plus size woman. And then I was the person I actually saw in the mirror. And then my brain started working in other directions and so on. And then I realized, whew, okay, I might be now that plus size woman that I always thought I was. And that was kind of the moment when I really gained these kilograms and I could not find clothes. That was the moment I really realized who I am now.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, you kind of just brought it all together with your business of confidence and stuff like that. Like, can you give me the reasons and like the whole scenario of how you came up with the name Confidence Style for your business and all that?
It just, I did not even think about it. I was sitting down, I graduated, I got my diploma in my hands, and I was thinking like, okay, now start the business. And then I was thinking, okay, people need a name for a business. And it just directly came into my mind. There was no brainstorming, nothing. I just knew confidence, style. And then I was, my business name was just Michaela Light Confidence and Style, because through my own styling, I have gained that confidence. And this is what I want to give back women out there. And so this is how my business just happened.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And in regards to the whole plus size industry, what are the aspects you love about it? And what are the aspects you don't love about the industry?
I think that we in the, let's say, plus size community are a very loving community. So we really support each other. I know now a lot of actually plus size brands, also smaller brands and designers, and I've collaborated with them, and I'm still working on a few things I cannot talk about right now, but they will come. And I think we are like very good with each other. We treat each other well. We help and support each other. And this is what I absolutely love about the industry. And I think it's different to the, let's say, normal fashion industry out there, because we know the struggles and we know that we have to stick together to support each other, to make a living and to live. Yeah. And what I don't like about it, there's actually not, I cannot even think about so much, because the fashion industry actually is very toxic, especially the, if you think about the high fashion industry is absolutely toxic. Some days ago, I saw a post from one of my favorite designers, Olivier Runstig from Balmain, and he was posting that he actually had an accident last year, and he was kind of, his body was burned because his fireplace at home exploded, but he could not go out like this, and he didn't show the outside world what happened to him because he was afraid of the toxic industry, and he knows that he's working in a toxic industry. And I was really amazed by the post that he posted 1 year after his accident, showing actually what happened. And this is like what I don't like about the fashion industry. You always get judged. You cannot talk about your vulnerability, and this is like completely different to the plus size industry. What I don't like about the plus size industry, but it's not its fault, is that we don't have so much variety on clothes at the moment. So there has more to come. This is like actually really the only thing that I don't really like about it, but I think we are on a good way now.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, because you're in Germany and stuff like that, is there a lot of plus size brands in Germany, or is it very a small niche community?
It's terrible. Yeah. Oh. It's really bad. In whole Europe, it is different than I know in the US, it's also not optimal, and it should work better, and there should be more, but in the US, you have way more variety than we have here. So we in Germany have not a lot of brands. We only have a few brands, and the biggest brand in Germany that is selling plus size fashion, in my opinion, is not doing a good job. They sell fashion that is not made for, let's say, the younger people. When you look at the fashion, you really think it's granny fashion, and that's something that I think is really, really sad, because also young people need to have beautiful clothes, and not much variety here.
Oh man, I hope you can make a difference in that community with your work and, you know, your inspiration and your style, that, like, you know, brands can start to branch out. That's really what matters, is branching out and learning that there is a market for this, and they just need to reach out to people like you who can help them get that voice heard. What is fat acceptance? The fat acceptance movement was born out of the civil rights revolutions of the 1960s. Instead of the beans of Vietnam resistance, early demonstrators staged fat-ins. Those activists eventually formed the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, a volunteer-based group devoted to broadening the rights of and fighting discrimination against large-bodied people.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all in for that. I actually always wanted to have or help a plus size brand, especially here where I live, to get a little bit more established and with nice clothes. And I hear a lot of times feedback from my clients that tell me, oh my gosh, I would love to have this kind of dress, it's not available. I would have like to have this kind of colors, it's not available. So the market gets better slowly, but there's so much more work that we have to do.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. And speaking of clients and stuff like that, since you work pretty much one-on-one with them and everything like that,
yeah.
Is there been a huge client success story that you want to share with us?
Yeah, so I was actually last year when the pandemic started. I mean, everything was closed and people were like, okay, what's going on now? And I had a really lovely client, and she's a teacher. And as a teacher, of course, you cannot get so sexy dressed and so on during school. Of course, you have to be a little bit more conservative, and that's absolutely fine. But I was working with her on her clothes because she actually was only working and all the time in black clothes. And it's kind of a little bit boring. Also, black is actually not a color that a lot of people can wear. It's really making a lot of people looking sick in their faces and older. So actually, I always encourage people to wear more colorful clothes. And she was at the very first beginning, she was very afraid to wear colors because she told me black is the only color she feels well in because it makes her look skinnier. And I told her, come on, just try something. And then I showed her what kind of clothes she can wear. I put together really nice outfits. And at the beginning, she didn't want to wear them. She was like, I'm really not sure if I can do it. And I said, just try it once. If you do it once for me and you still don't like it, we will work on that. But if you do it once and you will like it, then I will be so happy in you too. And then she said, okay. Then I put her in a really nice dress that was a Bordeaux color and with navy tights. And she was like, oh my gosh, there's so much color. I cannot wear this. I said, yeah, you can. And then actually she started dressing that way. And she had this beautiful outfit on at school when the school opened again. And everybody was so amazed. And all the kids, they gave her really nice compliments. They told her, oh, you look so nice. And this is like really nice colors and so on. And she was just happy. And this was one of the client successes that I had, because she didn't want to, she was afraid, and then she tried it, and she was happy in the end and got compliments.
Oh, that's amazing. It's hard to bring someone who's been shy and has been like pretty much in that constant of, I've only seen myself in this one look, and I haven't seen myself outside of it. Like, I haven't seen it from another person's perspective, and you're seeing it, like, from how other people would. Like, you would look amazing in these colors, or you would look amazing because it complements your skin tone and stuff like that. And I feel a lot of people, it's hard. It's hard for me to shy out and branch to, like, bright colors because I'm always scared it's too loud for me. Mm-hmm, but I also don't know if it's what has been ingrained in my brain from like society and stuff, like plus size women can't wear these types of colors because it looks bad on them. But it's really just like a mindset. And I'm sure that's mindset. Probably what you're getting.
Yeah, it's absolutely mindset, and the industry telling us really things that are not true and making us feel bad. And yeah, really, I just want to encourage everybody, find your colors and you will look gorgeous on them, really.
That's amazing. My other question is, what is one piece of advice you'd give to someone starting out in your career, since you've kind of like built yourself over a few years and months, even during the pandemic? Like, what would you give for advice?
Keep going. I mean, you won't have overnight success. I also didn't have that, and I was in the lucky position that I was already working as a plus size influencer, and people kind of knew me and knew what I'm doing. As I said, you won't have overnight success, and if you do, then I'm really proud of you and lucky and happy for you. But you have to keep going, and there will be days that you're sitting there doing your stories and you're thinking like, is even anybody looking at this? Is anyone really feeling what I feel? And honestly, just keep going, because there will be the one breaking point when everything will just turn around and you will be happy. Because if you will start being happy, your clients will be happy, and that attracts so much more happiness to it, and everybody will just feel great and you will attract more clients. So honestly, just keep on doing whatever you do.
Oh, that's I love that, because it's hard to keep going when you feel like you're
just at a standstill, and you don't see this, the progress, but low key it's happening. Like, it's just like, you have to pay attention to the little details. Even those like 1-2 likes, they mean something at the end of the day.
They do.
If it doesn't seem like much, which is what I'm starting to learn with this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, honestly, you are already inspiring people that you have not even ideas about that they exist, because they're not reaching out to you and they don't press like, but they see what you do and they hear what you do. So just keep going. And if it's honestly just one person that you inspire and change their life, this is already very big.
Absolutely. You're totally right. I really have to like convince myself. And like I said, that confidence, it's like I have to exude it and like make sure I can deliver something that I'm proud of and like the audience can feel safe and also enough that they can share it with others too as well, which is, it's not easy. It's not. And because you have a large following on social media, which I've noticed, what do you think it is about you or your style that attracts people?
I think about me is that I am just myself. So I'm not fake. I'm not putting on a mask. I'm always telling the truth. I'm always doing truth talk. Today I did a story that was very truthful. And people might sometimes be a little bit like, oh gosh, she's a very bold person. Yeah, I am. But people just love that about me, and if they don't and they unfollow, it's also fine. I don't have, not everybody has to like me. And about my style, it is because I guess, I mean, I don't know 100%, but I guess it is because I just style really who I am. I style the body that I have. I'm not afraid to show this body. I love feminine styles. I love sexy stylings. I love to flaunt my curves. And I think that's what people probably are getting inspired by.
Do you have a favorite brand that you gravitate towards for your own personal clothing in your closet?
Yes. So my absolutely favorite brand that is also catering to plus size brand is a little bit more luxury. It's called Escada. I know you also have them in the US. They're actually a German brand, and I just love them. They have amazing colors. They really understand how to dress women. And whenever I have the money, I'm buying their things. Yeah,
of course. I love that. What's one favorite like piece of clothing that you own that you're like absolutely in love with and that you're like, it will stay in my closet forever?
I think I did a post last week with it. It is a wrap dress, also from Escada, in a fuchsia color, like purplish fuchsia, and it's just amazing. The fabric is feels so soft and nice, and this is like my dress to power dress myself. If I also feel a little bit down on some days, because I also have these days, I'm just wearing this wrap dress, and yeah.
I love that. Why do you think it's taken so long for women of our size to really be seen in all types of industries?
That is a very good question. I think one thing is really the media, because they're always telling us, everyone, to be skinny. And I used to be a teenager in the 2000s when people like Kate Moss and Paris Hilton, for example, were celebrities. And this is also where my probably body dysmorphia also came from, because I always tried to be as skinny as they are. And I was size 0, but I still had some curves, because it's just the body type that I have. And I think that a lot of women felt or feel that way. So yeah, I think this is one, the media, because they only show skinny people. And yeah, I mean, every decade we have kind of different, let's say, body types or beauty standards. I mean, if I would have lived in the Renaissance time in France, I would have a voluptuous, beautiful, curvy body, and I would be on all the paintings probably, which used to be probably Instagram back then. So back then we were beautiful, now we are not. Now we start being beautiful again. I really hope that the fashion industry and the media industry is stepping more up in their game, that they really take people who look more like I do, for example, like other people do, that we have more variety on bodies, on everything. So I really hope this will change.
I I feel the same way too. It definitely, the media plays a huge part in it, and we're so misrepresented. It's so sad to see and so heartbreaking, yeah. Because I didn't even know about our community, honestly. Like, I think I was a little bit in denial when I was younger that I was plus size. I thought I was just curvy, but then my friends started to treat me differently, and it really affected me. So I didn't know if you felt like, if you had a story where you felt left out or misrepresented in your childhood, in your career, anything like that.
Probably a lot of times, but I think the most saddest and most hurtful situation that I had was when I was a teenager and back home in my family. So you have to imagine, I had body dysmorphia. I was actually a size zero, and I did not eat a lot, which was really, really bad. It was bad for my body, for my health, for my mental health, for everything. And I remember one day that was really heartbreaking. I went into the kitchen to, get a little meal done, because it was one of the days I actually really felt I have to eat something. And then I came out and my dad was yelling at me and told me I should not eat bacon because I get fat. And this was like one of the days that really was heartbreaking for me in terms of body and body positivity. I was like, nothing.
Oh my gosh. And is your family supported of you and your styling and your career, and even just you as a person now? Like, are they just supportive, or are they still on the fence?
No, I also have to say, I honestly didn't talk to them in the past, oh my gosh, like over 10 years. Oh, wow. And I'm also glad that I have cut the toxic relationship. And I always say my friends and are my family, and that's beautiful too.
And your fiance too as well, of course, yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. Yes, of course.
How did you guys meet?
So we met on the internet, on a dating app that is very well known. And he gave me a super like, and I was first looking at his pictures. I was like, oh, he's really handsome. And then I started looking at the other pictures, and then I saw, oh, he's doing like really a lot of sports. He's like going on biking trips and this and that. I was like, I'm not so sporty. I don't know if this is a good fit. And I was very tempted to not accept the super like, but I was thinking, oh, he's really handsome and I should like talk to him. And then we had an extremely good connection with each other. We talked for some days on our phones. We texted a lot. We had voice messages that were like a half hour, which I still don't know how we did that. And then after some days, we just said, okay, let's go on a date. And then we dated one day, and we dated another day. And then very fast we came together, and very fast also we moved together after 3 months of relationship. And now we're gonna get married.
I love that. My story is the same thing too. Online dating. Yeah. And it's pretty pop. Yeah. We didn't meet on that same dating app you're talking about. We met on a different one, but he's super shy. And it was hard to connect for a little bit, but over time we opened up, and it's just, I love it now. Like, I love him. I could say that on the air.
Oh, this is beautiful. Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. And I'm happy for you, honestly.
I mean, look at us. I mean, I know there are a lot of plus-size women out there. They are seeking for love, and they feel maybe even unworthy of being loved, and thinking like, oh my gosh, nobody wants to have me because of my body and this and that. No, it's not true. It's not true, girls. For everyone, there's something out there. So you just have to believe in it and be confident, and you will also find your person.
And it took time. Like, it was at a moment where I was like, I kind of just want to give up on dating because I kind of want to focus on myself. And that's when I found him. So it was just like, patience is totally key.
It's same for me, actually. So when you are really on that day, when you think, okay, I'm just not trying anymore. I'm just like, let it go. If you let it go, it comes automatically.
Absolutely. What's the biggest challenge you're facing in your role right now, and how are you tackling it? That could be as a stylist or as a friend or anything like that.
As a stylist, actually, it's the fact that I mostly cannot do much in-person shopping with my clients. So, of course, I mean, I have clients in the US and UK and so on. I mean, I cannot meet with them in person anyway. We do everything online. That's fine. But I also have clients here in my city, and the problem is that most stores, especially here in Germany, don't have a plus size section, so there's not much in-person shopping. But the problem is that a lot of women don't want to shop online. They say, I want to go into a store, I want to try on the things, I don't want to wait for the things, and I don't want to be in the position that I send back everything because it doesn't fit. And that's a lot of convincing work that I have to do, because I would also love to change that, and I think I'm working on that also to change it, but it will take time. It will not happen tomorrow or to in the next week or in the next month that brands decide to sell more in-store. But what I have to convince my client is that if they work with me, I know what fits them. I know their measurements. I know how the clothes will look like. I know what colors are suiting them. So the chance that they have to send something back is very small if they're working with me. But I have to convince the clients, and that's not always the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, it's very much a, you're kind of like the mediator of both the brand and the client trying to collaborate with them. And I understand it is a struggle, because as much as I do enjoy shopping online, I would rather try it in person, but sometimes the stores just do not carry it. And I do like the fact that with online shopping in certain stores and brands, I don't know if they have this over in Germany for certain stores there, but I know some of them offer a try-on, where you can try on a few clothes and then return it back. I don't know if you found any brands that you collaborated with. I was like, hey, can I do a try on, see if they like it? And if they do like it, you can I get a percentage of it? Because I like offered that as an option. I don't know if you do anything like that.
Yeah, as we don't really have much in Germany to shop. I mean, we do have some, but no, that's actually at the moment not really possible here. But it's absolutely fine, so.
Yeah. Well, I hope that, like, you find some middle ground. And I hope that, like, the fashion industry in Germany and over, like, internationally just starts to improve for plus-size people, offering those types of fashion advice, styling, and seeing just that representation, even on the runway, like, for, like, New York Fashion Week. I don't know if you saw, but there was a lot more plus-size bodies out.
Yes.
And I was just, super happy.
Me too. When I saw it, I was just really sitting there and raving. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, girl. This is incredible. I always get goosebumps if I see a plus-size woman coming out. And I'm just, like, tearing up and thinking, yes, it's our time.
I know, right? It's just, we've come so far. And it's just, like, seeing it on the big screen makes it so more real for us, and it's the actual step we need in the right direction for us to expand the curve, honestly.
Absolutely.
I have one more question for you, and just to get it out there, but what's one lesson your job has taught you that you think everyone should learn at some point in their life?
That you have always been beautiful. You have always been beautiful. You are worthy of wearing beautiful clothes, and it is not you. It's not out there because of you. I want to tell everyone that it doesn't matter what kind of body you have. Everybody can get dressed. Everybody can wear beautiful clothes. You just have to learn how. You just have to learn what is your body shape, what fits your body shape, and what is your size. And the number doesn't even care. It's just really to embrace your curves, to wear the right colors. And honestly, life will change if you start doing this. And the other thing is also, a lot of women always reach out to me to tell me, okay, I'm going to work with you if I have lost like 10 pounds. I'm like, this is not helping you. You have to look and feel beautiful now. You can, of course, still lose weight after that if this is what you want to do. I'm not stopping you. This is your life. But you have to feel well now, and you have to dress yourself beautiful now, because you also need to feel beautiful now and to feel good. Yeah,
I love that. That's great advice, honestly. And it takes time. Like you said, how can you learn to love somebody else if you haven't learned to love yourself? And yes. I feel like that's really the advice that you drive for your website, for yourself, for your persona. Like, you just, like, in order for us to build confidence, we have to start from within, for sure.
Absolutely. And I know sometimes it's really hard. You stand in front of your mirror and thinking, like, oh my gosh, I'm so ugly, I'm so fat, and I have these roles here and these roles there. Yeah, but if you do, like, the negative self-talk, nothing will change. You have to start loving yourself. Tell yourself, okay, I have a beautiful booty, I have beautiful eyes, I love my curves, and this is the way you have to talk to yourself. And I'm telling you, do this every day, life will change.
Absolutely. I love that energy that you're giving, and I feel people can really learn from you and you giving this type of advice on your Instagram lives, on your website, even through your blogs. I feel like that passion is speaking through and it's getting to your audience, and I'm truly hooked on you. Like, I absolutely love Aww. Your energy and everything. You're such a sweet woman.
Oh, thank you so much. I have goosebumps. It's beautiful.
Where can people reach you, and do you have anything you'd like to promote?
Yes, so the best is always Instagram. I post almost daily, so go on my Instagram. It's about Michaela or Michaela in English. And then there's, of course, also my website. It's confidence-style.com. And there you also see my blog. And at the moment, I'm really promoting my autumn-winter style updates. That means I create 6 complete beautiful outfits that are completely bespoke, tailored to the woman that's working with me and for any kind of occasion. So if you tell me, okay, I need 2 job outfits, 2 for the brunch of my girls, and 2 because I love going clubbing or whatever it is what you like, then I'm just creating that for you and, yeah, make you feel beautiful and confident.
I love that. Thank you so much for being here. I already feel a confidence boost myself just even speaking with you.
That's beautiful. And thank you so much for the invite. It was so lovely to talk to you. And I really wish you the best with your podcast. I know it's going to get amazing and huge.
Thank you so, so much. Everyone, that was Michaela. And she is a stylist. Please follow her on Instagram and her website. If you guys ever have questions or struggling with your closet and you're just looking at it and you're like, what do I need to do? Please reach out to her. She will give you great advice. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Expand the Curve. Leave us a review and tell us what you think. We appreciate your support. You can keep up with the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to contribute a donation to the podcast, just click on listener support on our Anchor page. You can listen to all episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Stitcher,